Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for so much for being so generous to me, showing that Christ. Thank you, Father, for that. And thank you for inviting us up. Thank you for Jim and Marge for your kindness to me. And all of you at whom I've greeted and appreciate meeting you. But most importantly, I appreciate the Lord in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to... Oh, I'm sorry.
I believe it's on now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, all right, you didn't hear that? That's all right. So, we're going on. My wife felt, we felt that it wasn't time for her to come yet, so we're just here by ourselves, sort of. But it's a great day that we're in, with things, as you know, are changing. And I want to share a word with you today. I've titled it, Behold the Lamb. And the Lord had been dealing with me for a while on nudging me and just trying to get my attention and just let me to, I'm slow, you know. Trying to get my attention to figure out what he's trying to get through to me. So, but this morning I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start there. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I just hope that everyone gets what they need this morning. Amen. That includes me. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 3. I'm reading out of the American Standard Bible, so it may be a little different from yours, but it'll be an added blessing because you'll get different meanings. So it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ, he's done it. It's already done, huh? It's God's very, very definite about things. When he does something, it's done. And so he says, just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, and this is what I want to look at. And blameless, yours probably says without blame, before him in love. Hallelujah. All right, now we're looking to grow up. We're looking to be what we call the sons of God. Hallelujah. But we seem to have a conflict going on. There seems to be a difference between what God says about us and what we are. Huh? Oh, yeah. Don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But this is good, you see. Because, you know, we're just that way. We just need to learn. We really, when we think we got it, you know, how many times we've thought we've had it and found out we really didn't. We just thought we did. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that we're in a place where that kind of stuff is going to begin to pass out of the scene. You hearing me? Come on. God's not dealing. He's not going to deal with us the way that he has dealt with us. Now, I don't know what your take is on God. And I don't know what your experience is in God. But I'm telling you, I pray that this word this morning will really clarify some things for us and will establish us in what God is wanting to do today. Because, you know, God is moving on. Oh, I know. We've seen it over the years. Oh, God is moving on. Hallelujah. But you see, this is different. Oh, sure, it's different. Boy, yeah, you just wait and see. Just wait and see. That prophecy that you gave me, Oscar, see, it flows right in. See, I like this way. If we're going to do something, it has to line up with what God is doing in here. It jives. It correlates. It's in harmony. And we're in agreement with it. Not because we're so smart that we think we've got it figured out, but because we realize that this is what God is doing. And because he's doing it, it's his good pleasure to reveal it to us with the intent that we should be holy and without blame. My. Wow. Let that sink in. See, because if I can find a paper here that I wrote stuff on. This word, blameless, it really is the absence of anything amiss. All right, don't get up and leave. See, because we've all missed it. That's what it means, amiss. You know, oh, it may take on a form of something, right? But it still means that you missed it. Huh? And that's okay because, you know, we do miss it sometimes. I mean, I miss my wife, you know, but we do miss it sometimes. And so he said, the absence of anything amiss in a sacrifice. Okay, down to basics. Your life is not your own. Contrary to popular belief. Oh, we say, yeah, that's right. But then we go act like that's not so. We become a contradiction. And then we wonder why we're confused. Huh? We wonder why things are going the way they're going. Well, if you was God and he looked at you, what did he think? What would you think if you were God looking at you? Huh? Have you ever looked at it that way? Okay. See, I know I'm never going to get anywhere if you don't leave me alone and let me preach here. So here it is. It says, anything amiss in a sacrifice or anything that would render it unworthy to offer. And this takes on this form. I don't feel like seeking God. I don't feel like reading the Word. I don't feel. And see, behind that is something. You know, everything that we do has something behind it. Huh? Who we think we are has something behind it. See, the root of the thing. See, it's something behind it means the roots that's in the ground you can't see. Huh? But he said there's nothing amidst in the sacrifice. And there's nothing in it unworthy. Now let me ask you, is there something that is in you that you think that is not worthy? What's your story? I mean, really? I mean, what do you tell the people out on the street that you talk to that you wouldn't tell people in here? Huh? Really, I mean, what would we tell a friend that we wouldn't tell someone else? And how does that jibe with who the Father says that we are? Huh? Hello? I mean, you want me to leave now or you want me to go on? See, what it is, we got it wrong. Oh, I know. Listen, we're so smart. We've learned so much. We've got plenty of revelation. You know what I mean? I mean, we've been in this thing a long while, Oscar. You know? We're just not newcomers on the block, you know. Rich talked about the corner. Two places meet. You get there, you're going to make a choice. You've got to make a choice of which way you're going to go. I got news for you. You got to make a choice every moment of every day. And if you don't think that you can do that, that's in line with that thinking that is, I can't offer it. I'm unworthy. It's impossible to happen. It will never be. Hello? Hello? Am I talking to you? Uh-huh. I like that. That means it's working. Good neck movement. Hallelujah. So, you know, see, I'm going to read it again because put it together. Blameless, the absence of anything amiss in a sacrifice or anything that would render it unworthy to be offered. I just won't make it. I've been in it all these years and I've learned all this stuff. And I look in my hand and see what I got. Huh? Unworthy. God's not looking for that kind of sacrifice. No. He's not looking for you to identify your problems. And shame on others if they identify it. Because that's, you know, you've heard of a double blessing? That's a double curse. See, we're going to change things. I know. I know it's God, but you know, where is God? See, I don't know. I don't like how I preach to you. It takes too long. So, I'm going to get me a drink of water and think about that. We're going to go to Exodus 12. So just to clarify, I'm going to read it again while you're turning it. Blameless, the absence of anything amidst in a sacrifice or anything that would render it unworthy to be offered. Well now, we're getting in the right place here. Exodus 12. And start at verse 1. Let's go to verse 5. We got a lot to do anyway. So, verse 5, it says, your lamb, now that's the offering for that going to be for the Passover, as we all know. And this is the requirements. See, God does have requirements. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until blah, 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 and all this. But the idea is that this lamb is unblemished. See, it goes with what we're talking about there in Ephesians 1. Unblemished, nothing amiss with it. There's nothing in it. There's nothing can be found in it. My, what's found in you? See, what's found up here in your mind? Come on. And you go around talking about it. You know, that's why we got so much mental illness. Because people are talking to themselves. And they think they're talking to themselves because they're mentally ill. Now, I'm not going to get into all the semantics of, you know, why there's mental illness and the physical and genetic makeup and so forth and different things like that. But we're talking about something that is in the mind that causes people to live in a certain way that makes them to act and react and to control their environment with who they think they are. Do you do that? So this lamb is without blemish. And that without blemish means, here's what it means now. Entire, literally, morally, and figuratively, it's whole. It's perfect. It's sound. See? And when it meets the requirement, then we know that death angel, that whole realm of death and the whole message of death that walks through our mind, that continually talks to us that we're just this and that or the other. He said, that lamb will take that whole thing away. Hallelujah. It will deliver you from the totality of a person who is stuck in their house.
Amen, that's right.
Genesis 22. All right, we're going to get somewhere, actually, after a while. Genesis 22. Very familiar scriptures. Hallelujah. And we know the story about it's Abraham. God said, yeah, I'm going to ask him to sacrifice his son. And I'm going to see what he's going to do about that. And so he go ahead and he's going to do it. And he says, and his son asked him, well, look, we're just going up the mountain here. We know we're going to offer a sacrifice. But where is it? You ever feel that way? You think, well, it's somebody else. It's not me. Huh? Where's the sacrifice, Lord? Or we look and think because we haven't done it, we haven't been able to produce it, we look to see that somebody else might do it. God called you. He called me to fulfill this path, this journey that I'm on. He's called you. He's determined already by his counsel that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what he's called you to. And he's not called you to some kind of pie in the sky, great party review and so forth with all the people that we know. He's called us to a reality of something that he is saying that is possible and it is present. And not only is it present, but it's required. It's required. You want to move on in God? You want to move into changes of what God is going to do? We're going to change. We're going to change our concepts. We're going to change our talk. We're going to change our walk. We're going to just change into that which is worthy. That is totally worthy. My. Wow. See, the hardest thing to get people to do, and that's when I say people, I'm including all people. That's all of us. Because we have lived in this realm and have acclimated to it and have gathered things unto ourselves to construct an idea about who we should be and what other people think we should be. And we've acted accordingly to that, and we didn't want to disappoint anyone because we never thought that we were worthy. Never thought or allowed ourselves to believe that we were worthy. Come on. What is worthy? Listen, now here I'm gonna touch some sacred things this morning. Here's the thing. We sing, man, I love singing. I love worship. I love giving glory and honor to the Lord. I do. You couldn't take it away from you couldn't take his crown if you wanted to. Right? But what about yours? Where's your crown? See, here's the story. See, I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I want to try to be nice here. I want to be nice to myself, that is. I don't want to cheat myself out of presenting what I should present here, because then I'd shortchange you. But anyway, here it is. See, this lamb, the whole requirement about the lamb and all that is why I'm establishing that. Now let's go to John, the Gospel of John. If I leave anything out, you just help me, okay? Hallelujah. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Are we having a good time yet?
Yes.
Listen. Man, if we knew who God really was, I would be convinced that we would act totally different. See? Now, what does that tell us? When we start thinking like that, what does that tell us? How does that measure to what we've been thinking? Huh? And that's not condemnation, man. It's like Brother Oscar said, man, you know, God's vengeance is not what we think it has been presented, man. It's God's vengeance is said, take you right out of all that junk. See? Just simply ignore it. It'll go away. Oh, but I can't. You know why? Because your mind is so stuck on things. You've got your mind so trained that immediately, and that's the way we've been raised. That's as part of coming into this realm. Because we begin to get, you see, when somebody says spit, we get a picture of what that means. Huh? Right away, we're there with you. See, we're just ready. We're there. We're trained, man. We're trained. And see, God is going to learn us another way. Whereby we don't look at it from the viewpoint that we've had. But rather, now we are convinced that I haven't seen it the way that it really is. And that's kind of scary when you think about it, isn't it? Because it just makes you wonder sometimes. Hallelujah. It wonders why. Boy, what a mess, you know? What a mess. We've been in a mess. Hallelujah. And you would think after all these years, I mean, not just us, but after 2,000 years, you would think that we would be so much further down the road. And here we are as a nation. After 200 and some years, what they began with, they started a good thing. And you would think, wow, look at that. What are the possibilities that are before us that this nation might become something we have not yet seen? May I say this? We are in that place. Well, the possibilities of things coming into being that we have not seen, that we have not yet experienced, and it cannot be compared to what has been, because if it is, it's just what it was, and we don't want what it was. Or see, we're just a bunch of has-beens. We have been that, but we're no longer that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's changing things. He's changing our mind. He's changing the concepts that we've had. He's adding to. He's not taking away. Hallelujah. He's God, man. And you know, it's just like God to do that. Because that's who He is. He's a God of change. Well, He says, I am Lord, I change not. No. He said, but He just has to change everything else to catch up to who He is. I mean, you know, you got the wrong idea, guys. You got too many ideas, all right? You got too many gods. Huh? You're getting me dry here. We did go to John 1, didn't we? Okay, John chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 6. I heard, Rich, I heard you this morning, you're talking about John. And he went down the river and baptized Jesus. And that was a momentous moment in time. Momentous. The whole temperature, if I could use that word, I don't know what else to use. The whole world took a pivot right then. Whereby the door had been closed, the door now became open. Whereby there was no way, there became a way. Whereby man was not able, all of a sudden, they began to contemplate that perhaps we were mistaken. Because God now is on the scene, and he's beginning to convince us that as we listen to him, we're getting it right. We're receiving what we've been wanting to receive. It has been hid from us, but it is now being revealed. And that time that Jesus came then is very much likened to the time that we're entering now. Because it was a great time of change. This change has been going on where most of us are aware. Change has been happening for some time now. And it's been building. It's been building. And we are, sometimes I think we're further along than what we think we are. But we have a tendency, even with that, to look back and try to explain, what has been said to what the unfoldment is. You see, it's one thing to have revelation, but it's another thing to be the revelation. How different is that? And yet that's what we've received for 2,000 years. We've received revelation. And I'm not saying revelation is stopping, but I'm saying it's just getting like the light. It's simply getting brighter. Amen. Simply getting brighter. And so John, here we are, John chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, there came a man. The margin here says, Man came into being. Interesting. I like that. That's very descriptive of what actually took place, because all of a sudden, as it were, this man came into being. He came into the place in God's order and time to begin to operate and function to bring about a change. My. He came right on time. He came into being. He came into being with a purpose. When something comes into being, there's a purpose for its being. Hallelujah. And John came into being at this time. Notice it says, there was a man. John represents the man that has been before this time. John represents all of the law and the prophets. John represents every promise that was ever given. Huh? He represents everything that God has spoken. They even said, well, who are you, John? He said, I'm that one that's crying. I'm that voice that's crying in the wilderness. I'm God calling forth you into myself. I am God announcing my appearing. I am God coming to mankind. For there is a time now for a change to take place. There's a great shift that is about ready to take place. There's a reality that has not been seen before. And he chose a man to announce it. And Jesus said of him, of man born of woman, there was none other greater than John. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. Hallelujah. And Jesus now, he's the one that said it,
Of men that has, of women that have never been one born so great as John. But, there's that but, you see. God just wants to inject something else. He that is least in the kingdom. See, the kingdom must come and be revealed. It is so much greater than what has been, because all that has been had prophesied about it. How many knows that it's given to some people to prophesy? And with that intent, there's given people to fulfill prophecy. We are in a place right now that prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Can you receive it? You say, what prophecy? Pick one. See, because John was the summation of saying, in essence, God was saying, what man could not do, I'm going to show you that it can be done. Hallelujah. He's saying that today. Yes, he is. This man, see, it's a beautiful picture here. That God chose, deliberately said there was a man that was sent from God, whose name was John. He said, he came for a, what did he come for? To witness this thing. God had to have a witness. How many knows that for 2,000 years now, God has had witness. We've seen something. We've witnessed what God is saying, what he wants to do. He says, he came to bear witness of the light that all might believe through him. He was not that light. Get that? He was not that light. Meaning this, in the context wherever they're speaking. He was not that representation that was appearing. Because what he appeared of as was a prophet to proclaim it, to be the voice. I don't want to be just a voice. I don't want just a ministry. No, no. Something greater than John is here. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, he says, he was not that light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. Hallelujah. Remember that. The witness. He bore witness of the light. And where else do I want to go? I want to go to verse 29. Now he was the witness of the light. Verse 29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold. Come on now, you got to get this. See, here's the one that Jesus spoke of was the greatest. And what was the best thing that he could come up with? Behold. He was fulfilling the ministry. And all he could say was, behold. He was here looking at that. And he said, behold. What was he to behold? What were you to behold? Behold the Lamb. Now let me put it the way that it has been explained till now. It has been explained that that lamb was Jesus. And it was. All the aspects of what he's been declared to be certainly was. But here's another aspect of it. That lamb is who we are. And I've already qualified you to be that by reading Ephesians 1. That you should be. that you should be. That means it seems like that we might have a problem being. That you should be. You know, you should do this. Oh, I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know what you mean. And I walk away like, so what? You know, I'm of another mind anyway, so you're just telling me for what? But you see, when John saw the Lamb, he was saying that everything that has been has now passed away. There's another vision on the scene. There's something else to see now. And it's not all this stuff that has been. Can you receive it? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. See if you want to. Because we always have a choice. We're going to move from our position. Now you've got to hear me right. If you hear me according to what I'm saying, you're going to hear me right. We're going to move from the position of where we've been. And whatever that includes, that position, whatever that means to you, as yourself, as your belief, not doing away with anything. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy all of that. I come to. Now, why are you here? Why are we here? I tell you, we're here because God appointed this time for us to be here. I tell you, we're here appointed at this time to see and to facilitate the change that God wants to come. My. And you know how we're going to do that? We're going to let go of our doctrine. I know you said you're going to send this out. But anyway, I don't care. It doesn't matter. We judge this that it's better to serve God than man. Now, so the thing of it is that if we're not willing to let go, and I believe you got the heart to do it. I believe if your heart is right. See, you will let go because you realize, just like John said, there's another. There's something greater now. There's something greater than Jesus just being Lord and dying for us and having a name above every name. There's something greater. There's nothing greater. It says no other name is there given under heaven whereby we must be saved, you see. And so we build all of our belief on that. And that's true. But the problem with that is it's not all the story. See, it's not all the story. And if you tell the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey used to say, see, your lobby will get in trouble. Because people are going to get upset at you. Because they think that you're challenging them, and you are. And I find out when people are challenged, they're going to do one or two things. They're either going to run or fight. So most of them who are good people, staunch in their beliefs, they're going to stand with the full armor of what they have. And I understand that. But the thing of it is about Jesus and exalting him and worship him, I'm going to tell you the highest honor that you can pay him. You ready? The highest honor, the highest worship that you can give him is to be who he wanted you to be in the beginning. That is the highest worship. I didn't mean to scare you. That is the highest worship that you can give him and God. See there? You see what happened? We just shifted. We just came from a mentality that says, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord, and he is. You're not going to never change that. Nothing. No one who, don't matter how long they say it, for eternity upon eternity, that is never going to change. Not all. So don't misunderstand me, but people will do that anyway. See, because the whole idea is that he said in Hebrews, in bringing many sons unto glory. What's his purpose? To be the exalted lamb? No. You know what he said? He even said it himself. He said a lot of things himself, you know. He said, well, he that would be greatest among you, let him be the servant. Let him take that low place. Isn't it interesting the symbolic thing that God chose to represent himself? He chose out of everything. Why didn't he just choose the mightiest? You know, the lion or whatever. Why didn't he choose whatever? You know, why didn't he do that? He came, but he chose the most humble thing. Interesting. See, the gentleness and the meekness of the Christ. He chose that to represent what he was. Hallelujah. They wanted him to come and change everything by violence, by taking over, by establishing the kingdom back to Israel again. But here's the story, man. He said, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. What is this lamb? This lamb is of God. What do you mean? His whole representation is what God is. He came to be the example. He came to show us that we can be holy and without blame. And the scripture says, Peter says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. See, God's not satisfied with having a bunch of believers. A bunch of Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, spirit-walking believers. Whatever. All of that has its place, and all of that is part of the thing that is growing up into him. Amen. I know that. I recognize that. I receive that. But God, I don't stay there, because that is not the vision. But that's what a lot of people's vision are. They have that vision to say, okay, we got it. This is it. And then something else comes along, and the vision changes. So he said, the Lamb of God, what does the Lamb of God does? All right, now you're going to get in trouble here. He does what? He takes away the sins of the world. Now, did he?
Yes, he did.
Now, is that a present fact? What are you still dealing with him for? See what I mean? You see how we are? We think we know something. We talk one thing and walk another. And I'm not condemning us. I'm just pointing out the fact that, you see, that's not the vision. And that's not the way it has to be. I don't care how much we're convinced that that's the way it should be. And, you know, after all, I'm doing the best that I can. You know, I pray regularly. I read the scriptures. I study. I love God. I do good to people. You know what I mean? Listen, there's a lot of people out in the world who do a lot of good things. Put some Christians to shame. See, so that must not be it. That must not be it. Because God's after more than works. He's after life. He's after, you see, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. But you see, unless you see what life is, how can you have it? And that's why John says, behold. Sorry. That's why John says, behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb. What do you see? And what are you looking at? You're looking at what's going on with you? You're looking at yourself? You're looking at your family? You're looking at things not working right for you? Huh? What is it? We're going to find a place for this place thing. Now, you see, John came and he had it right. Now, he was a prophet. He understood what God was doing. And you know what he concluded was? Behold. What are you beholding? See? So, anyway. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away. You know what that takeaway is? It's raising up. What do you mean raising up? It raising you up from the concept of those things, out of the realm where those things are. That's what it is. It's absolutely raising you up, changing you. He takes it away. Hallelujah. He's doing that. That's the Lamb. Now he says, let's go to verse 34. And this is what John is. Now, remember what he said earlier? He's the witness. Remember that I said. Now, he said, 34 says, I have seen. Have you seen? I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. You want to be a son? What's stopping us from being a son? Well, when we know what the Lamb is that represents that blameless nature of the Father, when we identify with that, we're the Son. Can you receive that? See, I know we're looking down the road for something to come. I understand that. But I believe that, you know, somewhere along the line, after so long of a time, somebody is going to catch on with what God is saying. That what he says has already been done, known unto God all his works from the foundation. And what did he say about us from the foundation? That we should be. I know this is tough. Because it really stretches us, because we want to say, we got 10 voices saying, this is not so. And I can prove it to you by the scriptures. See, to be a son is to be the Lamb. To be the Lamb is to be blameless. To be the Son is to be blameless. To be the Son is to be worthy. See, my life is a sacrifice that is blameless. It's absent of anything that is amiss. You see, and when I tell you these things, and you know what happened? You start going amiss. That's what happens. See, I know how we are. I'm one of us. Now remember, I said God is changing things. How do we like it so far? So, in Matthew 13, if you will, as it was when Jesus came, so it is now. See, when John said, behold the Lamb, I'm going to jump in and put my two cents in. What he was saying is, here's someone who is coming that is not like anything that we've ever seen. There is nothing. There is no idea that I have that can absolutely comprehend or represent what he is. Whoa. Whoa. Come on now. See, we've never seen, the scripture says somewhere about, he said, we've never seen it on this manner before. I think it was referring to something that Jesus had done, a healing and so forth. See, we have never seen, hallelujah, my brothers and sisters, we're about,
we're about to see some things that we've never seen before. We're here at this time, this appointed time, by design and purpose, by the before counsel of God, to help to initiate and bring in the change. Wow. And all that we've come up through has brought us to this hour. See? Aren't you tired of talking about it? Isn't it time for that thing to be our reality? Isn't it time to understand what it is to be a son? Isn't it time to understand that we've always been worthy? That we've always, since the very beginning, been holy and without blame? Isn't it time that we begin to realize that to such a degree that out of our hearts will flow that purity of what God is as the Lamb is representative? And isn't it significant that the Lamb laid down His life? Isn't it significant that you will lay down your life for this? See, you can't know what it is to lay down your life until you've done it. Oh, you can get all the information about it. Maybe get an idea about it. Read about people who have done that in certain areas and so forth, and what had happened to them, the experiences and everything they went through. But no one can take your place. You hear me? No one can take your place. No one. Come on now, we're serious. No one can take your place. We're here by design and purpose at this time, just surely as Jesus was. That was half of the story. We ready for the other half? See, because John said, we've never seen this before. He knew, right, that it was to come. Yeah, he knew that. Do we know that? Sound familiar? But it was really something when he began to see it. He said, I didn't know. I really didn't know. Oh, I knew that he was to come. Huh? I knew it was to happen, but I didn't know until it was revealed to me. Now, this is the greatest prophet, Jesus said, greatest among men. And he did not know. Interesting. Think about that. Isn't that cool how God does things? He just catches us so unawares. Because he loves us so much, he says, they're going to get a kick out of this. See? And he's just sitting there chuckling. Watch this. Watch when it dawns on them what I'm doing. You're going to like this. Watch their response. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. So, let's go somewhere else. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. And we're going to go to 2 Peter. I think that's where we want to go. Oh, I'm sorry. I made you turn to Matthew 13, and let's go to 17 first. I'm sorry.
And you know the scripture, I heard Jim quote it, and he said, "For truly I say," and this is so pertinent today, believe it or not, it says, For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. See, because they knew. It's just like Abraham, man. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Man, they knew that they were strangers here. They knew that there was beholding the promise afar off. They knew that what was available to them was ahead. But I want to tell you something. We're not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not in the time that they're in. We're not in the time that Jesus was in. We're in another time. And many righteous, many prophets and many righteous men have desired to see this day. Jesus said one way, he said, my day, one place. Interesting, he said, my day. What about your day? See, now, you see, you got to come back, because right then you want to pull away, because you want to say, well, no, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Well, that's just half the story, beloved. The greatest honor that you can give him is to be who he died for you to be. That's the greatest worship. That's the greatest homage. That's the greatest honor. Hallelujah. Now, don't you think he's going to do everything in his power to see to it that we will be that? Yes, indeed. 2 Peter chapter 1. And hallelujah. I hope you're getting something. So here we are. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. For I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my dwelling, earthly dwelling, is imminent, as also the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. That's important. If we keep going the way we're going, we're not going to change. Now, I'm not finding fault with it, because, you know, I'm not going to hurt myself. He loves, you know, his wife loves himself. So I want to love myself as much as I can, because I'm going to give myself as much allowances that I need. But, you know, sometimes it's just simply the fact that I need to come to the place of the realization that I must change. If we're tired of what's been happening in our life, something has to change. And you know who it is? That something is me. And that something is what I carry around with me, thinking about things and people and conditions and situations. There's coming a time, beloved, that we're going to stop looking out here and let everything out here influence us and conform us to its image. And then we wonder why we act the way we act sometimes. It didn't just happen, you know. It did not just happen. We don't like that, you know, because we're pretty good folks. We're pretty good guys and gals, you know. But anyway. But the thing of it is that we've come to a place in time in God that I'm going to read these scriptures. That it says, 2 Peter, he wants us to keep these things in mind. That which God is rising up within us, okay, is becoming greater than that which is out here.
Yes, it is.
And that means everything that's out here. And that's a lot. You might say that's the world we live in. Amazing. These things are scary when you start thinking about them. In the right sense. They're scary. You say, well, you know, why? Why is this way? This way, and I'm here, and I'm involved, and I'm, you know, things should be different, but just the way things are, you know. But no, but God says there's a change that is happening, and we're here by design and purpose to help to initiate that change, to bring that change into being. The prophetic and all the teachings of what we have received, the revelation and everything else about whatever the summation of what we're looking for, is standing here and saying, behold. Behold the spotless, blameless Lamb that is worthy. Behold the Lamb that is worthy. Behold the Lamb of God. It's worthy because it's from God. It's of God. It's the very existence of it is the expression of what the Father wants to represent in us. He's the totality and the summation of all the will and purpose of God. Hallelujah. Man, God himself humbled himself and became a man. Amazing. Amazing. Yet he set the example, didn't he? He set the example for us. He set the example for us who are waking up to realize the hour that we're in. The hour of transfiguration. Hallelujah. The hour of change is upon us. And, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be left behind. I believe God's going to surprise us. I believe there's going to be more ministry outside than there is in the church. I believe we're going to find that he's going to begin to flow out of us, Richard, like you're talking about the river, man. Those two visions you had or dreams, whichever they were. But there's going to be a flowing out, man. You know what that means? There's going to be a release of that which is within us, which we are. See, when Jesus said, here we go, I want to address this. When Jesus said, he that believeth in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being, out of his belly will flow rivers of water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they should afterward receive. But you see, the thing of it is that we're receiving something that you have no control over. You can't put it in your box of information and see it make manifest. It won't happen. If you got it all figured out, you got it wrong. We're so wise, we're foolish. Because the reason why we're foolish is because we can't produce the wisdom that we think that we have. He takes the wise in their own craftiness. And we think he's talking about somebody else. Oh, that's you, brother. You know, not me. I would never be that way, you know. Not me. I love God, you know. 2 Peter 1:13 says, yeah, and I went down to 15, didn't I? And I will always be diligent. You see, here's Peter ready to pass off to Satan. He realized what's really important. Listen, when someone's dying, they want to tell you the most important thing that they can tell you because they love you. They want you to know the thing that is most dear to their heart that they have treasured, and they want to give that treasure to you. That's what Peter's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he's doing. So he said,
Verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were, there's that word again, eyewitness. Who did we read about that was a witness? Was it John the Baptist who happened to say, behold the Lamb? Well, here's Peter standing in the same place. Huh? We were eyewitnesses. This is what he's going to tell us what the Lamb looks like. Hallelujah. See? So here we are. He said, we didn't make this up. I know this to a lot of people, this sounds like fantasy. To the religious world, that you're a nut. You've made some kind of story up here. And I don't know where you got that from, but listen, you guys stay away from him. Because he is absolutely off his rocker. He's not just, he's way out there. No, he's way in there. Hallelujah. So, it's not something, and to the mind, it does seem like it's just a tale. A tale that can be told and say, oh, wasn't that a good story? See? Well, one day, you know, that's great, you know. And that's really, a lot of times people take that mentality. They just say, well, sounds good. Sounds good. Oh, that's nice. Wasn't that a good sermon? So, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we were eyewitnesses of his glory. But here's what I want to get to you. See, we're in the day which we call a lot of different things, I guess. But we say it's the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is his coming, his appearing. See, now, but the thing of it is this. His coming is our coming. See how slight that is? See how it doesn't take away, it just adds to what he's already begun. But it's because they don't know the rest of the story, Oscar. Don't know. They just know part of the story, and they think it's complete. And then, well, it's as complete as it can be, because after all, when we die and go to heaven, we're going to know it. We're going to be complete. It's going to be finished. No problem, man. Every tear is gone, you know. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more whatever. Whatever we have dealt with here, thank God, you know, we'll no longer have to deal with these things. Well, when John said, behold the Lamb, he took care of all of that. He said, get your eyes off of everything else. Can you do that? See, now, John wasn't seeing a natural thing. He was seeing a vision from God. That's what he was seeing. He wasn't seeing just a man walking. He was seeing the nature of God revealed. And it was being revealed so that it could be expressed in its entirety. And this, what is being revealed as completely God and without blame, would go to any length to prove to you that what he represented was absolutely true. We do him a very disservice, a discredit, to recognize exactly who he was. For who he was represented absolutely, totally, completely, perfectly, who I am. Yeah. I know, but you got to behold the Lamb.
For 17 says, for when he received honor and glory from the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, see, we want to look at Jesus now. Everybody, this is what the focus has been. Wow. This God himself looked at Jesus and said, you're my son. I'm so pleased with you. But that is, in one sense, not what God was really saying. What he was saying, you represent everything that I am. That's in whom I am. In whom I'm well pleased to dwell. In whom I'm well pleased to express. In whom I'm well pleased to be. I have destined him to show forth who I am. And he has done this. And it's him in whom I am pleased to be. Because I have full access and representation through him of what I am. Hallelujah. How about it? How about it? How about it? Does he have access now? To be exactly what he wants to be? I know. We ain't going to make up our mind to do this. But sometimes we just need a little nudge to be reminded that, you know what? This is what it is. This is what we're called to. This is what we need to know. This is what we need to be reminded about. I will endeavor after I am gone that you might be able to retain this. And it's interesting he says that, and then he goes right to the Mount of Transfiguration. Interesting, isn't it? He says these things, that we should remember these things, and the things that we should remember is the thing that happened on the mount. And the power and coming of the Lord was to display to us, to put on display to us, what it was to be a son of God. It didn't mean he was someone great and superior. It didn't mean he was just the elite. Because the reason why he came in the first place wasn't to show off God, but to remind us who we are. To remind us how soon we forget. So, the power and coming of the Lord. You see, the reason why this is so important is because Peter's pointing to that event, and that event was pointing out who we are. Not who Jesus was, though that included that because he couldn't help but do that. But buddy, when you include him, you have to include me. Now, why would we exclude ourselves? But we do. By buying into other stuff. Believing other stuff. He that believes into me, to him I give the right, the ability, the power to become. When is that happening? When you're believing. Yeah. That's why the scripture says it. And see, we think of it as, in him all the promises of God, yea and amen. But let's look at it. And that's true. I'm not taking anything away from it. I absolutely agree with that 100%. But I also absolutely agree 100% that he's the example of who I am, so that everything that is in me is yea and amen to the glory of God the Father. Now, did I take anything away from Jesus? Not at all. No, I just received what's mine. A lot of people can't receive that because they don't think it's theirs. They think it's Jesus's. And it is Jesus's. And you'll never do anything about that, no matter how much you talk about it. You know? Because that's a subtle established fact. He's been given a name that is above every name. And that means this, you see. And right away, our mind goes to what our thinking and teaching has been, is that, well, now, hallelujah, every knee will bow to him. Him. And every knee will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But what they don't see is the other part of it. The other part is that because he represents everything that I am. And I will bow to that. You're going to give up your life for that. You're going to confess that. You're going to believe that. You're going to see that. Just like John said, behold the Lamb. You're going to behold the Lamb. And you know what? You keep beholding that Lamb. You keep remembering that Lamb. You're going to forget about what has been. That's why they had such a time with him, had such a time with Jesus. They were always remembering the law. Always remembering that which had been established, that which had been preached, that which they had believed, however they believed it. Hallelujah. But he says, and we heard, 18 says, we also heard the utterance, this utterance made from heaven, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. I heard Brother Oscar say, We are Mount Zion. Well, to really put it bluntly, we are everything. You know? And we're waking up to the reality that what we think is something isn't really anything, but what we are is. Well, that's a tough one because we've just seen it the other way around. Hallelujah. So, moving right along. Matthew 17. Let's go to there and we look at, you know, the picture where Jesus was transfigured. Hallelujah. What am I saying here? I'm saying that the Lamb is a representation of everything that is blameless. There's nothing. He's entire. He's complete.